This evening, I call your attention to Jonah chapter 1. To Jonah chapter 1. Do you realize in my reading for you just a moment ago from Jonah chapter 1, that here, brothers and sisters, you find the subject of disobedience to God. That is the lesson we are to consider together this evening as we mark the close of this Sabbath day. Brothers and sisters, from our reading from Jonah chapter 1, you learn that disobedience to God has consequences. Disobedience to God has consequences. Look at what you are told there from Jonah chapter 1 as I read again for you from verse 2 to verse 5. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. You cannot, brothers and sisters and children, run away or be ignorant of the lesson intended here, that your disobedience to God will affect others. Disobedience to God is never just your own personal choice or your own personal matter. It's none of the business of other people. Because we learn here, brothers and sisters, that your disobedience to God will affect others. Look at what we are told here. Those who were in the same ship with Jonah, they faced the same storm. Not Jonah only, but those around him. And so we read that disobedience to God has consequences and will affect others too. Think, brothers and sisters, of the disobedience of David, resulting in the death of Bathsheba's son in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Listen to what it is recorded in verses 13 to 14. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. How be it? Because of this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And it came to pass, sin, disobedience to God, has consequences. It is not David who died. It is Bathsheba's son who died. Because sin, disobedience to God, has consequences. It was your sin, the sin of humans, the sin of the children of Adam and Eve. It was sin that led to the death of the Son of God. He came into this world not to die for his own sin, but that he came into this world to die for the sin of those he came to save. As we are so clearly told and taught in the symbol, in the visual aids concerning the Passover, Jonah's sin caused misery and loss to others on the same ship with him. You see, brothers and sisters, sin will lead to misery to you and those around you. When a person commits adultery, it will affect many people. Both sides of the family will be hurt, and the children will be affected. It is never just a personal matter. It is a serious matter, because sin is sin, and sin is ugly, and sin hurts. And sin has consequences. My son has a few friends in school who could not return home every year for Christmas. Why? Because they have no home to go back to. Their parents are divorced. And their parents are remarried. Both sides remarried with new husbands and new wives. They are in a real sense, brothers and sisters, homeless children. And the sad thing is this, brothers and sisters, many of them, they have parents who claim to be Christians. And yet, they are divorced in disobedience to God. For God clearly said that He hates divorce. And people take it so lightly. They take sin lightly. They join the world. It is a generation of divorce. And they find themselves being part of it. There is no sacrifice. There is no real desire to make any sacrifice for the sake of the children, for the sake of the glory of God. You see, brothers and sisters, these are very real things happening to us. The rate of divorce in the church, as we understand, as we know it, is as high as those of the world. How can it be? Where is the Christian testimony? Where is this light to the world? We are no light to the world. We share the same darkness as the world. More importantly, brothers and sisters, you realize that your sin will separate you from God. Sin will separate us from one another. Sin will ultimately separate you from the God who created you to dwell with Him. It was sin, isn't it, here in chapter 1 of Jonah, that led Jonah to flee from the presence of the Lord. The Lord said, go east. Jonah went west in the direct opposite direction. Isn't that, brothers and sisters, what is happening so constantly in our lives? When we choose to disobey God, when we refuse to obey, and we think that it's too painful to obey God, we hate the different direction from where God wants us to go. Isaiah, the prophet of God, said these words in 59 and verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. Brothers and sisters, these are very sad words. It is not meant to be thrown at one another. These are real reality, brothers and sisters. And it is because of this that you find the Church of Jesus Christ around the world, especially Reformed churches, so weak. Because we share the same sin with the world instead of being different from the world. The world has entered the church, and the world is no different from the world, from the church, and the church is no different from the world. No wonder, brothers and sisters, the church is weak. The church has no power. Because, brothers and sisters, sin has separated you from your God, and He will not hear. It is known in the history of the Christian religion. It is known in church history that the reason why the Christian religion spread so fast in the Roman Empire was because of this. The Christians were the one who mined their marriage. They mined the family. They took child parenting seriously. And after being observant and persecuting the Christians for a while, they realized that the Christians are different. How harmonious, how lovely, how supportive of one another, and how different in their conduct, especially concerning the basic unit of human society, the family. And it is because of that that Christianity started to attract the attention of the Romans in the Roman Empire. Sin enters the world and beginning its momentum, brothers and sisters, we find that people are being drawn. I want to remind you of this, brothers and sisters. It is very hard to say this, but it is true that sin, disobedience to God, has consequences. It is never personal. It affects people. It affected the people on the same boat with Jonah. It will affect the church and people who are in the church. It will affect families and people who made up those family and the connected relationship as well. Tell me, what will you do about your disobedience to God? If you turn to chapter 3 of Jonah and verse 8, you'll find what is said there in chapter 3 and verse 8 of Jonah. Let them turn, everyone, from his evil way. Brothers and sisters, children, will you obey the Lord here in this call? Disobedience has consequences. But will you obey? Will you turn from your evil ways? Will you mind your life? Will you examine your soul? Will you examine your conduct? Will you take a good look as you begin a new lunar year as to how your life is? Will you make serious amends? Will you make effort? Give your best effort to put your life in obedience to God. Then again, brothers and sisters, your disobedience actually exposes your ignorance of God. There are many people who say they believe in God and they are reformed in doctrine. There are many people who claim this and claim that. But brothers and sisters, their life speaks a different way. Their life gives a different revelation of what they really believe. And that is exactly what is happening. If you look there in chapter 1 of Jonah once again, then that isn't that what you are told there in verse 1 to verse 3 about the ignorance of Jonah? It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But, here you find a but again. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. What does it tell you about Jonah? Jonah, you seriously believe that you can run away from God? Is that what you really learn as a prophet of God? That God's hand is too short and that you can hide? Seriously? That is what you learn about the sovereignty of God? And how you read about Jonah making his plan, his itinerary, how he spent money to buy the ticket, how he paid for the fare, and how he was set to go in a different direction. Running away from the sovereign God, wasn't that what he learned? Wasn't that what he knew about God? And yet, his ignorance of who God is and how great God is betrayed, is actually exposed by his action, isn't it? God exposed Jonah's ignorance of himself through his providential acts. Look at what you are told there in Jonah 1 and verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. What do you learn from this providential act of God? Brothers, sisters, children, do you not learn that God is in control of nature and the weather? There are so many complaints about raining. How to celebrate the Lunar New Year? Rain every day. But brothers and sisters, who are you complaining against? The weatherman? Or is it the Lord that you are murmuring and grumbling about? That God has shortchanged you somehow. Spoil your celebration. Brothers and sisters, look at what you are told there further in chapter 1 and verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And what does that remind Jonah of? That he can flee from the presence of the Lord? Don't you think the Lord was actually exposing his ignorance of God? That God controls all creatures. Even a fish in the sea is under the control of God. Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? Do you believe in such a great God who holds the world in his hands? Even the fish will obey his command. Chapter 2 and verse 10 say, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. The Lord spoke to the fish. Commands, gave Yeshua commands to the fish. And the fish responded obediently to the Lord's command. What does that teach you? That the fish is under the control of God, isn't it? Then again, in chapter 4 and verse 7, look there very carefully. It says, but God prepared a worm. Oh, brothers, sisters, a worm. Even a worm that you hardly see. Even a worm that your children will say, "Ee, mommy, daddy, ee," is under the control of God. Is under the control of God. You have been trained in this church. And this is a good church. You have been trained in Reformed confession. Some of you have received Reformed doctrinal teaching. But what does that mean to you? When your lies speak of a different God, when your lies speak of another religion. You say you believe in one thing, you profess to believe in one thing, but your action speak otherwise, brothers and sisters. You say that it is important, but is it really important when you look at the way you live in obedience to God? Because disobedience to God has consequences. Then again, look at chapter 4 and verse 6. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it to come up over Jonah, and it might be a shadow over his head. God controls the plant. All the plants are under the control and power of God. Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? Do you believe that? Over the creatures, over the plants and vegetations. But above all, brothers and sisters, you are also told in this short reading from Jonah, this short book of Jonah, that God controls even the lifespan of all creatures. How long you will live. And when your time is up. Look at chapter 1 and verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. You realize that Jonah was almost dead, if not for God's purpose for him. In chapter 4 and verse 7, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smoked the plant that it withered. The Lord appointed a time for the plant to live and for the worm to exist. What about you, brothers and sisters? Do you really believe that God has appointed a certain number of days for you? And when you use up those numbers of days, your life is over? Does your life show this urgency, this realization of God's sovereign power over you? Or are you living the way that people can see, and that your life exposes your ignorance of God, whom you claim to believe? You see, brothers and sisters, God even allowed events to take place in your life, to take place in order to expose your ignorance of Him. If you say you are a Christian, show it, prove it, live it. Don't say, people want to see as evidence of what you claim that you know about God. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told, came into this world, and when He died, it was not a mistake. It was not an accident. It was God who intended that He should be born, and that He should come, and that He should die and give His life as the atonement for the sins of His people. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 and verse 23, we read, Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. There is no mistake in a Christian life. Everything works for the glory of God and for God's purpose to be accomplished. And so, what does your life reveal about your faith in God? Are you constantly exposing your ignorance of God with your murmuring and your complaining and the wicked ways and choices you have made in life, brothers and sisters? We must be very conscious of all this. The third lesson I want to draw your attention to this evening is this, brothers and sisters. Christ has come to save you from your disobedience. Consequences of disobedience is death. The wages of sin is death. And yet, brothers and sisters, you find in the darkness of the disobedience and the consequences that Jonah faced, a reminder to you that somebody will also similarly come, and for 3 days and three nights he would also die in order to bring salvation to his own. And that is very important, brothers and sisters, for you to realize that here in the book of Jonah, chapter 1 and verse 17, you are reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ when he says here, "And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Wasn't that the Lord Jesus Christ who said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 40 to 41, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." Beloved brothers and sisters, you cannot hide your sin, you cannot ignore your sin, and you cannot deny your sin. At the very same time, confess now that Jesus is able to rescue you and to save you from your disobedience. If there was hope, if there was salvation to the wicked people of ancient Nineveh, at the hearing of the preaching of Jonah, a mere prophet, a man, you should place hope and trust in the Son of God, who is greater than Jonah and who has come to save his people from their sin. Jonah was the opposite of Christ. Jonah was guilty and was willing to die for his own disobedience. Christ has no sin and was willing to die for the sin of his people. That is why you are told in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." My purpose this evening in drawing your attention to Jonah chapter 1 is this: to remind you not to take sin lightly, not to take your decision-making process lightly, because it will affect others, you affect people, because disobedience to God has consequences not of in your life alone, but in the life of your loved ones, your relatives, and in the life of your church, in the life of this society that you call your country and your nation. And I want to show you, brothers and sisters, that there is always forgiveness with God if you know your ignorance of God and repent of it. And take God seriously and love God more and read the Word of God and pray and see how you can walk with God more intimately. Look at what you are told there in chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, "Salvation is of the Lord. Rescuing is from the Lord. It is the Lord who rescues His people from their sin and misery." Surely God can rescue you too. If God could save the Ninevites, surely God can save you if you would humble yourself and call upon His name. Brothers and sisters, a greater than Jonah is here this evening,
as we come to close,
he was shown to you in the institution of the Passover. And here you learn too, brothers and sisters, in his death on the cross of Calvary, and is his resurrection from the dead, that there is hope for God's people. And we thank God for that. If God were to find fault with us and mark all our sins and call us to account for the way we have lived, brothers and sisters, there is no salvation for any of us. There is no hope. There is no possibility of ever meeting with God again. For we are all sinners. We are all sinners. We have sinned against God. But thanks be to God that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Disobedience to God has consequences. Your disobedience will affect those around you. If you will not share the gospel with your unconverted loved ones, you know that your disobedience in not sharing the gospel will lead them to die in their sin and be lost forever in the fire of hell. Now you will say, yeah, but Pastor, didn't you say salvation is of the Lord? Yes, I did. But isn't it equally true that God has given you the responsibility to share the gospel with those who are dear and near to you? It is easier for you to tell your loved ones the gospel than for someone, a stranger somewhere, to try and talk in this day and age. Do you know that? The moment we open our mouth to a stranger, the stranger will be thinking, ah, are you an insurance agent? Ah, what are you trying to scam me? Spare me? What are you trying to steal from me? Because we have come to a world, a generation of suspicious people. But when a loved one comes and says, Mom, Dad, can you sit down? I have something important to tell you. I care for your soul. Mom, Dad, will you listen that Jesus Christ has come to be the Savior of sinners? Will you repent and believe and join me to seek Him, to serve Him, to believe in Him? Brothers and sisters, they will listen. Initially they may resist. But brothers and sisters, if you have been a loving son, a loving daughter, a loving relative, a loving colleague, a loving friend, they will ultimately come to see your love for them. So again, you see, it comes down to this. Are you real? Are you real? Many years ago, I met with someone who is a colleague of somebody I know. And so I asked the person, has your colleague, ever shared with you the gospel? And the person said, yeah, all the time. So I said, we mean all this time you refuse to believe in Christ? He said, of course I refuse to believe that. And I said, why? Do you know that she is known to be a thief in the office? I said, wow, that's serious, what do you mean? Every time the daughter and the son in school need new pen and new notebook or whatever, she will take from the office new pen and new rubber, new everything. She had this idea, oh, office, never mind, I bring back for my children to use. Isn't that stealing, Pastor? Every time there's something to photostat, he will tell the children, never mind, I bring office to photostat for you free. Is it free, Pastor? You Christians are the most stingy and you Christians are the most horrible thief. Again, brothers and sisters, Pastor JJ spoke many years ago when he was preaching through sermons on the Ten Commandments that people actually went to him and said, Pastor, can I borrow your software to install in my computer? And Pastor JJ said, cannot, you know, there's copyright. And those people say, what copyright? Just borrow anyone. Just lend me only what? They have no sense of what is happening, brothers and sisters. Disobedience to God has consequences. If you don't love your father and mother and honor them as you should, no wonder they will never come with you to church. No wonder they will not listen to you because you are horrible. You are a hypocrite. The same goes true for your children. Do they respect you as father and mother? Why not?
You must look out for the rules. Don't say, "Aiyah, today, young people, aiyah, young people are so disobedient." Don't blame the world. If the family is a loving place, if the family is a very wonderful place, who doesn't want to go home? I know of many children who would rather die outside rather than go home. Why? Always quarrel at home. Always fighting at home. Nobody cook at home. What kind of Christian home is that, brothers, sisters and children? I come to conclusion. Your disobedience has consequences. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, repent and obey God. Learn from Jonah. Repent of his sin, of his ignorance of who God is. And come, brothers and sisters, seek his forgiveness and know that there is always forgiveness with God.